Hello, and welcome to the 3-Bit Podcast. This is, I guess, episode 5.
Yeah.
Do we have some explaining to do?
I have some explaining to do.
Yeah, we had put up a podcast 2 weeks ago, even though we recorded one, because we had some technical difficulties, apparently.
Yeah, the first, like, basically how we record these is, once we take a break, there's separate tracks, right? So the first opening track was missing a whole bunch of data, which means it was just silence.
Wait, do you know why?
Well, I think partly, I won't get into it right now, but I do have some idea. Anyways, so this is technically episode 5.
Yeah, episode 5, take 2. It's like December 5th, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, I'm Thomas Curtis.
I'm Kyle Simmerly.
Yeah, I'm Peter Boda.
All right, so let's try this again, and we'll talk about some video games.
Yeah,
okay?
You know, just okay. Like we always do.
So, we played video games, didn't we?
I played video games. Did you play video games?
I played video games.
Okay, good.
I played a little bit of video games.
Okay, what video games did you play, sir? Peter?
I didn't say I played a lot of video games. How about you start?
No. Oh, you sure?
Yep. That was a dodge.
Okay. Yeah. Everybody look forward to Peter's sad segment, apparently.
Yep.
All right, so I played Dragon Age.
Oh, yeah? Ooh, on the PC,
week.
Right?
Yes, on PC. I got it during the Steam sale during Thanksgiving.
That was a nice sale.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It was okay, yeah.
And I'm the kind of person who absolutely loves RPGs to give you a lot of choice. Like, I loved Oblivion, I loved Fallout, I loved Knights of the Old Republic.
Right.
All those major Western RPGs.
And seeing as how this is BioWare,
and this
that's
game
definitely
of
going to be
is
a
by
staple.
BioWare, and Dragon Age so far is among my favorites.
Oh,
of,
yeah?
Of all those games I've played, yeah.
Really?
I've only played it for about 6 hours so far, probably. But it's a very, very directed experience, unlike games.
It's a traditional, would you say?
I guess I would say traditional. I mean, what do you mean by that?
I guess just, like, that it's fantasy, and it's, you could sort of play it isometrically, like the camera.
Oh, yeah, if you play PC, you can have a
overhead
view.
I don't know, just, like, stuff like that.
Well, yeah, the setting is incredibly traditional. I can get into that later, but the actual gameplay is, I mean, apparently it's a lot like Baldur's Gate and Baldur's Gate 2, but I never played those, so I can't.
Neither
really,
did I.
I can't really say how similar it is to those. The way I would describe it is it's kind of like playing an MMO where you control the entire party, uh-huh. But you can pause combat at any time to issue orders.
Right.
Like,
so
all
like
your skills operate
on
cooldowns, so you can use a skill, and then you have to wait 6 seconds before you can use it again, or something like that.
So it's like the original KOTOR?
Yeah, in a lot of ways. I played KOTOR on consoles, so playing this game on PC
is
a lot
different.
But I can definitely see the similarities.
And you think, and this is one of the ones you've had the most fun with, in comparison also to like things like KOTOR and KOTOR. Like, it's one of your favorite RPG games.
Like you said, that this is one of your favorites.
Well, I'm enjoying it a lot so far because it's very directed. It's pretty linear, as far as I can tell.
Okay.
You're basically always just moving.
Despite the choices or whatever?
Yeah, I mean.
So it isn't really branching, or what?
There's certainly branching, but like the way the overall narrative works so far in the first 6 hours, it pushes you from area to area, and it doesn't let you backtrack a whole lot.
Oh, okay.
So you start the game out, and you pick one of 6 origins or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's more than 6, I don't know. You go through whatever you chose. I chose a human mage. So after I left the mage tower or whatever, I'm forced into a camp preparing for battle to fight, you know, these demonic enemies, the Darkspawn. And then after that, you're forced into a town. And that's where the game opens up a little bit more, where you can do some side quests before you choose to progress to the next area.
Oh, okay.
So you're basically, like, you're forced from, like, these small little isolated areas that let you do side quests within a certain area, and then you move on to another place, and you probably, at least so far, you don't go back.
Okay.
Maybe you do later in the game. It's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But within these small areas, there is a ton of content. Like there are a bunch of side quests. Some of them aren't even like pointed out to you with like the exclamation marks, like you'd see in an MMO.
Oh,
some
really?
Of them are. Like you got an arrow over someone's head, but other times you can just talk to a random NPC, and they'll start talking to you, and you can get information, or they might give you an opportunity to fight something to get some money or some loot or something. And
so it sounds like this thing is stuffed with content, and you'll be playing.
It certainly seems to be.
Potentially play it for many hours.
Yeah, I mean, I keep hearing it's like around 80 hours long, which is fucking crazy for a single player game.
Yeah, I mean, Dave from Giant Bomb said he'd finished in like 50 hours or something.
Yeah, that's nuts. I can't remember the last single player game that lasted me that long.
Plus, like, it sounds like a lot of the origin stories are really cool.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've only done one so far.
There's reason to go to other ones, I guess.
Yeah, but the way I played out my origin story, it made it seem like there would be a bunch of other outcomes had I chose different
options. Oh, so you might want to throughout... do the same origin, just
I mean, I don't, I think,
choices?
I mean, the origin seems to have just one direct narrative. There aren't a ton of side quests within an origin story.
Right.
But as I haven't tested this, but I think if you made different choices in a single origin, it could play out a bunch of different ways.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that what you choose in your origin story will play out, will affect stuff later in the game.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping, but I can't say for sure.
I mean, it is BioWare, so you could kind of see that happening.
I could kind of, yeah. I could definitely imagine it happening, but I have no proof.
Yeah. Kyle, what are your thoughts? Like, does this stuff sound interesting to you?
You remember when Thomas was all like, oh, you guys are talking about cars. I'm going to totally fade out for a second. I have a real, I don't know. I've always had a real problem getting excited about RPG games. I don't know why.
Unless
it's
Final Fantasy VII, apparently.
Apparently, and I've never even played that game.
Well, it's Kingdom Hearts.
Kingdom Hearts is an action RPG, and that's different because it's not about controlling a party member. It's about being good at the game yourself and having party members to aid you.
Okay.
You mean it's less about tactics and more like...
Exactly. And I think that actually... I just realized that. That, I think, for me, is the reason I... Maybe I could get good at RPGs and enjoy them a little bit more, but I don't have the skill set, I feel like, that kind of...
Maybe that's something you could develop in winter break.
One would hope. Well, I mean, maybe I should play... I mean, we got a freaking free version of Code.
Yeah,
maybe
I should
play
that,
through
definitely.
That. And I started a Mass Effect game.
Oh, you did?
So, I mean, I got, like, barely through the first 20 minutes.
Okay.
But speaking of, like, skill sets, you'd need to be good in RPG. Dragon Age is definitely a game that would
benefit
a lot
difficulty.
From having that. Well, I'm playing the game on easy. Because,
I've heard it's still pretty challenging.
I've died one time.
Okay.
So far for me, it's not that bad. Then again, I'm on easy, whatever. Yeah. But in terms of the way the combat plays out, it definitely helps a lot to have knowledge of how MMOs work.
Yeah.
Like, the way my party is set up, I'm using my different party members the exact same way I would use, like, in an instance in World of Warcraft, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a clear, tank character that will...
Right.
Go forward and keep aggro on
you
all the enemies.
You have to make sure you have all of the bases covered.
Yeah,
for
and
how
then I have two DPS classes, and then my character, the mage, is kind of DPS slash a healing class, so I make sure nobody's dying.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm managing my damage output and enemy AI and healing at the same time.
Yeah, Kyle, DPS is damage per second.
Thomas actually gave me a bit of a tutorial the other day telling me what a tank is, all these other things.
Oh, okay.
So I'm relatively aware of what you guys are talking about, but it's really funny listening to all this and realizing, like, I don't know what it is about it, because it is a game, obviously, that you play and you've got a skill set.
It is a game.
You're enjoying yourself. What I'm getting at is
you're
enjoying
yourself.
And, like,
there's just so much going on.
It seems complicated, convoluted, difficult to me. And I have never given my all at trying to do an RPG, which I probably should, so I can definitively say what bothers me about it and what doesn't. But I've never been that interested in RPGs. I don't know.
Well, hopefully,
are you talking
like,
just Western RPGs or just
a little bit of both?
Any sort of role playing game at all?
All I ever associate with role-playing games
are... He likes role-playing games where you have a gun and you shoot dudes and you never see your character.
Or where I'm an assassin and I can role-play.
You'd like Fallout 3, according to that description.
I really, really want to play Fallout 3.
Oh, well, there you go.
Even after all you just said? Okay, that's weird.
Yeah. But, and I also, there's this stigma that's attached to all of RPGs for me that I know isn't accurate. I always, whenever
Shut-ins.
I think... What?
Shut-ins?
No.
Oh, okay.
A stereotype to the gameplay.
Oh, okay.
And whenever I think about RPGs, I think of turn-based.
Oh.
Very much like,
weird.
Well, that's just you being silly.
It is me being totally silly and retarded. But whenever I think RPGs, I think of turn-based, and turn-based is really
much slower.
It's a bizarre construct to me. Like because I often think about most video games are about fighting somebody, and whenever I think about, you know, battle, I don't think of my turn.
Oh yeah.
Your turn. My turn.
Yeah,
your turn.
But Kyle, like real-time checkers or chess would be bullshit. Yeah. Some games aren't meant to be real time.
I know. And yeah. Obviously, I mean, I'm speaking out of ignorance here, which is totally blatantly obvious.
This entire time I've had the Persona 4 fight music going on in my head. It's so good.
I want to play a ton of stuff. I just haven't because I've got these stigmas stuck in my head.
Well, you are
stubborn and silly.
You've started your KOTOR and Mass Effect save.
I have started a KOTOR save, but I have started a Mass Effect save.
Okay. Well, whatever. I mean, you'll have time this winter. Hopefully that'll break you into the...
With a month-long winter break, I better.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of stuff that would get you to interested in RPGs, I would say the setting in Dragon Age would not do that
at
all.
That's another thing.
With the traditional aspect, it seems like the appeal is people who already like this stuff.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like something...
Dragon Age does not try to
introduce people
to do a whole lot new with the sort of, like, dark fantasy setting.
Right.
It's very derivative of, like, Lord of the Rings or something like that.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that said, the world they created is... it's very well realized. Like, they clearly put a lot of thought and effort into how the different races interact with each other and what these different groups' roles are in this imaginary world. But at the same time, it kind of feels like I've been there before in other games or I've seen it in other movies or read it in books. And so that's kind of a letdown in a lot of ways because I can roll into a town and kind of look at its aesthetic and I'm like, oh, this is where knights hang out and fight evil like always.
Yeah.
They're going to wear suits of armor and carry broadswords and talk with British accents.
this is a little bit of sourness coming from you about this game.
I mean, I don't mind it so much because it's really well done.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I really wish BioWare had pushed themselves a little farther and tried to create something
more than just
that
a
stood out. Because, if I was to show Dragon Age to
someone
who didn't know about it already, they'd just be like, okay, this is Lord of the Rings, the video game. But it could have been a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I was going to say is earlier this year, seeing the trailers and stuff, I was like, oh, well, this looks generic as balls.
Oh, the trailers for Dragon Age were awful, especially when they started putting Marilyn Manson music in it.
That made it better.
All I remember about Dragon Age...
Yes, it did.
Now, obviously, because I'm so ignorant about the world of RPGs, I automatically started to adapt your guys' impressions of it, especially at PAX, where we started to see a lot of stuff that I hadn't necessarily seen, and there was the big Dragon Age booth. And you guys both walked by it like it wasn't worth the time of day.
Oh,
so I just automatically assumed, oh, this game sucks. And then I kept moving along.
I think that's more just because it's such a huge game. Mm-hmm. Like, RPGs don't really demo well, so seeing it at PAX wouldn't really give us any info.
It wasn't that for me. I actually was pretty sour on Dragon Age when it was being marketed
and
stuff. Yeah.
Oh, so you're just
saw the initial trailer where it just showed the humans arming up to fight the orcs and... Darkspawn and shit. And it looked exactly like, something from Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, or whatever.
What if we took that trailer, but instead of Marilyn Manson, we put Rammstein in it, and then showed it to Kyle? Kyle
That's
been
no.
Like,
no. No.
Oh, God.
No.
No?
Yeah, but
is
no.
that phase over?
Yeah, way over. That was freaking... That was sophomore year.
I'm sorry, that was off topic.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway, I would see those initial trailers for Dragon Age, and I was immediately turned off. Because one, the trailers didn't look all that great. Like, the first trailer I remember was very muddy and muted color. It was just a bunch of dirty humans standing in the rain for most of it.
Yeah.
So
now playing it, what's your
impression? Yeah, after the game came out and I started... seeing some videos of how it worked and hearing impressions from reviews
and
message boards.
Good, press.
Yeah, it totally has lived up to the hype in terms of its breadth of content and its choice.
Right.
And well realized world. So that totally makes up for its crummy setting, in my opinion.
Cool.
I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's good, and that's what matters.
Has this taken over your Torchlight addiction?
For now.
6 hours isn't a lot, but...
I mean, I haven't played Torchlight this week because I've been playing Dragon Age instead. So that says something.
Whoa.
Do me a favor. The most recent type of RPG game I played was the Torchlight demo. Compare the two for me.
You can't.
You can't? Entirely different?
Torchlight is real time. I mean, you can swing the camera back in Dragon Age so it looks kind of like Torchlight, but they don't play the same at all.
Kyle, you saw it. Like, he was, first of all, he had his party members.
Yeah.
There's a much bigger focus on story, I would say.
Oh, yeah. There's virtually no story in Twilight.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
What have I done? Oh. In Torchlight.
Everyone just shut off this podcast.
Yes. We're going into fear. Edward and Jacob territory.
Shut up.
But, yeah, I know. So, like, the focuses of the game and, like, how they're designed are much different.
Okay. Also, Dragon Age is not about loot, which is, like, 100% of the focus in Torchlight.
Yeah.
Like, loot is one tiny aspect of Dragon Age. You're going to be caring more about your interactions with different characters and how you make the story play out.
Okay. Right. So
they're very different, but they're both very, very good.
I feel so ignorant about this entire genre of gaming.
Keep learning yous.
I'd love to learn more. Learn me things.
Oh, man. And then Massive... So, like... How do you think... When did this come out again? It was like end
Dragon
of October,
Age?
Right?
I believe that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so then...
Is that long?
It's like a month and a half or so is when Mass Effect 2 comes out. Like,
From now, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
So, like, how do you think the legs are going to be on Dragon Age?
In terms of what, sales?
Yeah, like, once it...
Fuck.
It's the same sort of people who would both...
Who would play Dragon Age and Mass Effect 2? I mean, what I'm assuming is that most people are getting Dragon Age for the holidays.
Right.
And they're going to be playing... I mean, and they'll be playing it a bunch.
That's true.
Because most people usually take vacation around Christmas or whatever.
Yeah.
So you'll be playing a bunch of Dragon Age. And then Mass Effect 2 will come out January, like, 20-something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine most people are going to be done with Dragon Age in, like, a month.
Yeah.
But do you think it's something that will not be worth paying attention to once Mass Effect...
Dragon right. Age is not going to be eclipsed... Mass Effect 2 will not be eclipsed by Dragon Age.
Well, yeah.
Do you think that Dragon Age will be eclipsed by Mass Effect 2?
Dragon Age came out earlier. No.
So,
Dragon Age is getting its time in the limelight right now.
Okay.
And
okay. I'm just saying, like, it's... Since it is one of those games that you could have and then... You'd be, like, afraid to dive into it because it has so much content. Like,
sure.
It's something that you would wait till you have the time for it. I'm saying once Mass Effect 2 comes out, will people just pass on it to go straight to the... I don't know.
Will people forget about Dragon Age to play Mass Effect? Potentially. I mean, I think it's really weird that BioWare chose to release these two games so close together.
All right, that's the overall thing
I mean,
was bringing up.
I got to imagine that the only reason they're being released this close together is because Dragon Age was delayed a little bit.
I heard
Dragon Age for PC was done about 6 months ago, but they delayed it so it would release simultaneously with the console ports.
Got it.
So
which I think was kind of a misstep. I mean, I think Dragon Age could have done just fine as a late spring, summer game.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think a unified media blitz is a good thing for this?
You don't have to wait till the holidays to have a large PR campaign.
Rather than splitting it between the PCs
it means
and the
like,
consoles.
It's better to have all of the versions out
yeah,
at the
but
same time.
From what I understand, the console versions of Dragon Age are inferior to the PC version. I mean, I want to imagine that most of their sales are on PC as well.
Maybe.
I mean, I guess that makes sense to have your PR cover all three platforms, but at the same time, I'm like you mentioned, I gotta wonder if... there's going to be a conflict between Mass Effect and Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Because they're going to come out so close
Because I
together.
Feel like it, like if the PC version had come out around summer, like that would have done way better. I feel.
I don't know if it would have done better, but I'm sure it would have done great.
Okay.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
And maybe they should have just delayed Mass Effect 2 to like March. I don't know.
Mm. Anyways.
Anyways, Dragon Age is good.
Good.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's awesome.
So that's pretty much all I've been playing.
Nice.
No, nothing else?
Oh, I mean, Left 4 Dead 2, which
I guess
we talked about in our Lost podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I mean, should we really...
It's a really good game.
Yeah. It's an awesome game. And I mean, eventually, I think we haven't mentioned this yet, but we're going to try to get the information we had in that Lost podcast up in some way. If it's not...
The Left 4 Dead 2 one?
Yeah, the one we did last, I guess. 2 weeks ago. I mean, even snippets, or even if
not
we
make
just...
make any promises.
No, yeah. Yeah, obviously. But even if it's just, like, us maybe posting on what we talked about, or...
Yeah, I think that'll be, like, if you look on a blog, we might have something written up later.
God knows there were a couple things I really was into.
We talked about Left 4 Dead in our last actually released podcast anyway.
Yeah, that's true. But that's cool that you've kind of been stuck on Dragon Age. I want to get my piece out of the way because I think mine is the lamest of what we could talk about.
All right, Kyle. Right. Have your glory.
I love how you're trying to attract our listeners by saying, this is going to be really dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's Kyle with the dumb part
the
of
dumb
the podcast.
The dumb part, you know, the dunce part. Basically, it's kind of funny because when I one of the first games that I tried to play seriously when I was young was Ocarina of Time.
Uh-huh.
You're dating yourself right there.
Yeah, I
showing
know.
Showing your
my
youth,
ignorance,
I guess I should say.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If you're saying that like one of your like fondest old memories of games
whatever.
Is Ocarina of Time.
Go man.
Anyway, I keep going.
No, but all I'm saying is one of the first games that I found truly difficult and truly fun to play was Ocarina of Time.
Right.
And I never beat the game.
Mm-hmm.
I got stuck on the water temple. And, you know, I was, like, what, in fifth grade, and I couldn't do it, and I was upset, and I was frustrated. And so I threw down the controller and had a friend beat it, and I watched him.
Nice.
And so what? All of a sudden, what I did a couple of months ago is I got it on the Virtual Console.
Yeah.
And I decided, there's no fucking way I'm not ever going to finish Ocarina of Time myself. Mm-hmm. So I've been, every time I got a little bit of free time, I've been playing a little bit of Ocarina of Time.
In the last couple weeks?
Especially this week, where all of a sudden I had a little bit of downtime. So I got finally through the Fire Temple.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm at the start of the Water Temple, and I'm really nervous.
Have you tried yet?
I haven't.
Is it just that nostalgia of, oh, God,
it's
the
fear.
He kind of pussied out. I saw him turn off the game as soon as he entered the Water Temple.
It was
2
a.m. last night.
Excuses.
Anyway, so I'm really excited because basically... I'm finally going to try it. It's almost been like the specter in my video game history because I never beat this game. And it's like kind of just bothered me. I know this sounds kind of lame, but it's just I really wanted to do it for myself. And then on
like
top of that,
building
because...
you up like, oh, Kyle, after years of retirement, he's going to go back to the water temple to finish off what he started.
I know.
I will face...
All those years ago.
I will face more fun.
Well...
Basically, but on top of that, Thomas is like, this is fucking lame. So he also got
Wait. I'm not done talking about Ocarina of Time.
Oh, okay.
That game was released 11 years ago.
Yeah.
So how fun is it today?
Yeah. I'm enjoying
based
myself.
On temporary standards.
I'm enjoying myself. Like
the Kyle Simmerly standards approves.
Oh, and it's actually kind of funny because I played Twilight Princess all the way through and enjoyed myself and, you know, thought, okay, this will have satisfied my want to replay Ocarina of Time.
But no.
No.
Lurking in the shadows.
Maybe it is just heavy helpings of nostalgia.
I'm sorry, he cracked his knee. It's funny.
Sorry.
Maybe it's just heavy helpings of nostalgia.
Yeah.
But, like, I genuinely am enjoying pretty much all of my time with this game. Maybe because I'm finally feeling like I'm not impotent.
I'm talking like the game itself.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
just
like how does it hold up to, say, Twilight Princess, which came out, like, what, 2 years ago now?
Uh-huh. I think that it holds up remarkably well. There are a couple of issues because I am using a GameCube controller, so sometimes it's hard to, like, controller tracking isn't, you know, superb. Like, I'm trying to look at something specifically and it'll jump, like, 2 centimeters to the left and 2 centimeters.
Gotcha.
Like, I can't center on anything, but...
Also, your C buttons are replaced with an analog stick.
Yeah, which makes doing the songs exceptionally difficult. Thomas and I sat in front of the TV trying to do this side quest of making the frogs sing this song, like, that was really complicated for maybe, like, 20, 25 minutes.
Like, 10.
Okay. I thought it was much longer than that. But
it wasn't.
We were trying to. We had to like switch off.
Struggle.
We had to switch off controlling the.
Oh man.
We had to switch off controlling trying to get this song right for I guess 10 or 15 minutes, and it was just like so. There are a couple of control problems, and I might be totally biased because I am just playing this and having that feeling of nostalgia and ability to actually play it.
Right.
But
right.
I'm enjoying myself.
But in terms of like the way the dungeons are structured versus like the more contemporary Zeldas like Wind Waker or Twilight Princess, like Ocarina of Time is hailed as one of the greatest games of all time.
Yeah.
Do you think you could still say that today based on what has come out since then?
Twilight Princess's dungeons were exceptionally more complicated than what I'm doing.
More complicated or better?
I think... I don't have a lot of really good source material to talk about what it can be compared to.
Well, right. You played both those games.
I played both those games. I would probably say that I had more fun trying to figure out the complexities of Twilight Princess than I do of Ocarina of Time, because it is much more straightforward, and again, this is before the Water Temple, I'm a little nervous about the Water Temple, but it's a lot more straightforward than I even expected. I remember the first time I played the first dungeon...
It is over a decade ago.
Yes, so. The first time I played the dungeon in the tree, the Great Deku Tree, the first dungeon you play as a kid, when I was a little kid, I was so fucking lost. I had no idea where I was. I have to go down and then up and then burn a net and, oh my god, that's a gigantic fucking spider. I would, by the way, I was fucking terrified of that spider when I was a young kid. I was terrified of that spider. And when I got in there, when I first started playing Ocarina of Time just a little while ago, I was actually like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, it's the spider. I always lost to the spider. What am I going to do? I killed him, like, in a minute. I was like, oh, that was easy.
Great.
But, I mean, despite its age, and despite the fact that there are things that were certainly, like Twilight Princess, that were more intellectually engaging and complex and fun in that way, that it's harder to do and you have to work harder at it, I have an inordinate amount of fun right now. An inordinate amount of fun playing Ocarina of Time, which is silly. It's 11 years old, but the fact of the matter is that I can... Maybe it's the fact that I never finished it, but the fact that I can pick it up 11 years later and still have a good time.
I'm just waiting for you to, like, I want to watch you as you walk into this water temple.
Damn you, like, Water Temple! Oh,
you beat me once.
I'm going to laugh so hard if you don't finish
the water. If I give up on the Water Temple.
Next podcast, he's like, guys, I'm not playing Ocarina of Time
ever again.
If you don't beat the Water Temple by next podcast, you fail.
You know,
okay?
I actually...
That gives you 2 weeks. You can do it.
I have an interesting confession to make. When I played Twilight Princess, I was really scared to play Twilight Princess because I thought the exact same thing was going to happen to me, where I was going to play through part of Twilight Princess and there was going to be a part that I couldn't get past and I was going to feel lame and impotent and like a failure. And the fact that I bet...
Self-esteem issues.
And the fact that I beat that game with no problem at all.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden I went, I can go back and play Ocarina of Time. Like what told me I could.
I like
do
how
that.
That's the first thing you thought.
I know.
You beat it. Like, take that, Ocarina of Time.
Yeah. So I will definitely beat it by the next podcast.
Okay.
At least the Water Temple.
So that's been the only game.
Then what I segued into was the fact that Thomas thought, really, you're playing Ocarina of Time?
Uh-huh.
I'm infamous for not having played very many old games.
Right.
And so Thomas is like, you know what? Guess what I have on my virtual console, on my Wii? I have A Link to the Past from the SNES. The SNES, right?
True.
And he just plugged in his Wii, and I started playing some of it. And I got through just the first part.
Okay.
Rescuing Zelda and bringing her to the church. And, you know, totally different game than what I'm used to playing, because it's a relatively top-down... because it's at an angle. It is at an angle. It's not totally top-down.
It's top-down.
Okay.
Close enough, whatever.
So it's a top-down Zelda, which I've never played.
Okay.
For incurring the ire of the internet yet again.
Thomas, did you ever play Phantom Hourglass?
I have. I don't like it.
Really?
Oh, okay.
I have a lot of... I could get into that later, but Kyle, go ahead.
Okay.
I was just saying, like, if Kyle was willing to try that out.
Oh, which I wouldn't recommend Phantom Hourglass because the dungeon structure is bullshit.
Oh. Okay.
Anyway, Kyle, you can keep going.
Thomas has talked to me
about
this.
I can't wait for the emails for that one.
No, Phantom Hourglass sucks.
You didn't say it sucked. You just said that it would be good if it didn't have this central character.
That game made me fucking angry. That mean, to me, that means the game sucks.
Okay.
Anyways, what were you saying, Kyle?
So it's kind of cool. I plan on... you know, finally doing some justice to the fact that I want to, like, play not just old Zelda, but actual old Zelda, and play...
As in, like, it's closer to how the series started?
Exactly. Like, the genuine roots, rather than, you know, something that was genuinely hailed as something that was...
Ocarina of Time is a re-envisioning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And was hailed as something incredible. I mean, one of the most incredible games, at least of the year, and if not of at least the generation, if not more. I want to do justice to the fact that I claim I like Zelda and actually look at its origins.
Yeah.
And what do you think?
I mean, first thing I expected jumping into the top-down Zelda, I thought it was going to be like Pokemon, where you're attached to a grid.
Oh.
And I was so confused when you could move in a diagonal. I was like, what's going on?
Anyway. This is revolutionary.
Yeah. And I hated Link's pink hair.
Dude, Link's pink hair is rad. Ugh. It's got style.
But one thing I do have to say for the game, after just the very little that I played of it, you know, combat's fairly straightforward so far. The game looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, we've got the component ins from a Wii into our TV.
Right.
And Link looks pixelated and a little, you know, not exceptional. But the world looks gorgeous.
Sweet.
Yeah, you're working really into, great in
that like,
game.
It looks really good.
Sweet.
I couldn't believe it. I literally looked at it. Yeah, well, I'll show it to you. I mean, it looks really freaking good. And that game is how old?
More than 11 years old. I don't know what it's saying.
So, I mean, it's gorgeous. Which, you know, me being the terrible schmuck I am, when I think of old games, I think of terrible looking games.
I just imagine him like, I'm gonna play this old Zelda game and it's gonna look like Pong.
I know. Right?
it's just Link jumping between the two paths.
Exactly. Those are like the two castles that he's just getting bounced around.
Oh god.
But so I'm really, really looking forward to finally doing something that I need to do as a game enthusiast, and that's playing some of the, you know, origins of good games.
Right.
And I'm really, really looking forward to that.
Speaking of which, Thomas, we kind of talked about this. Weren't we going to introduce him to the Metroid Prime series?
I was hoping Kyle would play Super Metroid.
Yeah. Like, do you have any interest in playing this?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Especially because I know that the Metroid series is huge for Nintendo, is in the same way that so many other of the franchises are.
Also, Super Metroid's one of the best games ever made, in my opinion.
And you've said that, and I'd like to be proven that that's...
Yes, okay, I get it.
I would like to be shown why it's so good. I would like that, because, I mean, one of my failings as a game enthusiast is the fact...
One of my failings?
Yeah, I mean...
F minus.
I mean, it's a problem that I'm a new-gen whore. You know, I constantly... I think of games in terms of their new manifestations rather than where they actually originated. I mean, as far just at Ron Gilbert's keynote at PAX, you know, I'm sitting there and this is quaint.
All the
you know,
it's like, yeah, Monkey Island.
Why, like,
wouldn't that come out,
like,
1950?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, I look at it as quaint.
Yeah, he showed this screenshot or whatever and he's like, well,
what
the hell
fuck
is
this?
That?
This is bullshit.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie. Yes.
There's no bump mapping on this shit.
I was like, dude, that's like 16 colors. What the fuck?
Oh my god. I just love that he was like, you know, I did try to make my games look beautiful with what I had. And then he shows a screenshot and everyone's like, yeah, that looks beautiful. And Kyle's just like, what the fuck is this?
It's like the one guy in the crowd just yelling out, this is bullshit.
Fuck you.
It's 2009.
So obviously, that's what I mean by a failing, that I'm not in tune with something that very much should be considered central to the evolution of what I love. And if you need to understand where things begin. So that's, I'm really looking forward to finally finishing Ocarina of Time and playing more of Link to the Past.
Sweet. With that, we should probably take a break.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Bye.
Farewell.
Hey guys!
Hey, we're back.
Woo. How's it going?
It's going okay.
I had the best piss ever.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Ew.
Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, let's
talk about a video game.
That's
Peter,
your analogy podcast.
Pick a video game.
pick one. All right. So, as you mentioned, you got Dragon Age from that Steam sale.
True.
During the week, they had Plants vs. Zombies for $5.
I haven't heard of that game. I've played that game.
Yeah. And that was like, Thanksgiving week was when I had the deadline for applications. So it was a really dumb idea for me to buy that game.
Wait a second. Did you actually have trouble? Like,
I played that game for like 12 or 13 hours in the span that I got it.
Yes.
Like to the end of the week or something. I think maybe it was like after I went to bed after I sent my application. But yeah, it was just an obscene amount for what the game is.
By the way, congratulations on getting your apps done.
Yay!
Must be really...
We were talking about college applications, if anyone's wondering.
Yeah,
College transfer application. So, Plants vs. Zombies, right? So you got that when it first came out, right?
More or less, yeah. I don't remember exactly when.
So basically what it is like a tower defense game, only it's from...
From PopCap.
Yeah, it's from... Well, yeah. From PopCap.
Oh, I thought... What were you getting at then?
I was getting at, like, that it comes from... right to left.
Oh.
Rather than like a grid. Like,
well, I think some tower defense games function.
Okay, whatever. It's
anyway,
a tower defense
keep going,
game.
Keep going.
You're defending your house by planting plants.
Yeah. It's like on a grid.
Yeah, it's on a grid. So you've got the sunflowers. Like basically, sun is your currency. And then you build your units up. Zombies slowly come in. There's various types of them.
They all come in from one side. They stick into one lane.
Right. So, yeah. And you just make sure that you've got enough defense so that they don't eat your brains.
Because that would be bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then it's over.
I'm an ignorant person. What's the premise? Why plants?
Zombies are going to
Zombies are
going to
eat
your
brains.
No, why are plants your means of defense?
That's what I don't get.
Well, because they spit peas and they launch watermelons and shit.
Why isn't it just guns?
Because it's from PopCap.
Yeah.
Peggle is full of unicorns and rainbows. They're not going to have goddamn machine guns and, like, chainsaws
by the way,
in Plants vs.
This is
Zombies.
Something I tried out, was it, I think it was today, actually. Maybe it was last night, but, you know the Tree of Wisdom?
Oh, yeah, it's a little, like, side
Yeah, you,
menu
you like,
the
buy the Tree of Wisdom, and if you get it, give it, like, food, it'll give you tips or whatever. Did you ever type in future when you were playing?
I did not.
Because you get... The zombies get sweet specs.
Like sweet glasses?
Yeah,
that's
sunglasses.
Pretty cool.
Anyways, so it's a pretty simple game, would you say?
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, it's a tower defense game that's been boiled down to its simplest form.
Right. So you would assume that it's something that you could just, play like a round or two and then I'll stop.
No, you can't.
No, it is goddamn crack.
Yeah.
Like, like I said, I played so... much of that damn game.
You know, it's rare.
And I finished it, like, during that week.
Yeah.
And I just felt bad because I had to do that.
You shouldn't feel bad because that game's awesome. I remember the week I bought it,
exactly
a week after I bought it, I checked my stats on Steam. I logged 24 hours in a single week.
Yeah.
For Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah, I saw that. And I was like, wait, why? How? And now I understand, Thomas.
Wait, what makes it a... is it so easy to get through a round and you just feel so accomplished when you do it that you keep going? What makes it addictive? What's its addictive quality? The cool ways you kill zombies? The amount you kill?
I guess it's like the satisfaction of getting a lane right so that whatever's thrown in that lane, you don't have to worry about
it
anymore.
You set up your towers or plants in such a way that you can basically just let your towers automatically do whatever they need to do and everything that comes on your screen will just die. So
right.
You feel like a master, like master tactician.
Yeah.
If you set everything up right, so you're generating enough currency to upgrade your guys at a certain pace, and they're just destroying any type of zombie that comes to attack.
So like once
you
get to that
house.
Point where like one of the lanes is such, like then you do the same to another lane.
Yeah.
And like once you just know, it's like yes. Take
and
back,
I mean
zombies.
The game also mixes it up quite a bit. Like there are a bunch of different types of zombies that can attack your house. Like they might be carrying. Like
and
a screen door as a shield. So, you...
Spitter!
I don't know what that has to do with the screen door.
It's just a type of zombie.
Thank you.
Okay.
Welcome.
So they might have a screen door, for instance. So, if you're just using your regular pea shooter, which just fires straight forward at a zombie, it'll take a lot longer to break down their shield and then attack the zombie. So you could use a different type of,
It's a mushroom.
Well, there are several different kinds you could use. There's like a mushroom that will blow gas, which will go through the screen door and poison the zombie and kill it that way. Or there are some plants that function as catapults. Right. So they'll launch something over the screen door and they'll hit the zombie in the head. So there are a bunch of different ways to get around that obstacle. And then, of course, there's a bunch of different types of zombies. Some of them like use like pole vaults, like they're like runners,
yeah, so, like,
and they jump over the first plant in your lane.
Right.
So that if you set up like a wall, like they're these big walnuts that just block zombies, they're basically just giant shields. They can bypass those, so you have to accommodate for that by, you know, either setting up multiple shields or just having enough
really
offense
strong
to kill them
right
before they do anything. So you constantly have to make sure that you're setting up the right plants to
like,
take down
basically
the type of zombie that you're facing.
You asked why it's so addictive. It's that every single time they're introducing new stuff, like whether it be new stuff you can plant or new zombies you have to account
yeah
for, or just like instead of it being daytime, like your currency is sun, like I said.
Yeah.
At
so
nighttime, the sun won't drop out of the sky. So what you have to do is plant these mushrooms that don't cost anything, or like basically it's another way, like you have to account for not having as much currency. So you have to, you know,
you have to be more thrifty with what you're buying.
Yeah, exactly. You have to make everything count.
Yeah.
Like, you can't make as many mistakes.
Also, every so often, you're not even playing a traditional round. You play what's, like, basically a mini game.
Yeah.
Like, well, you'll have, there's just, like, a scrolling bar at the top of the screen where different types of plants will scroll by, and you click them, and you can plop them down on your field for free. And usually they're, like, walnuts that, like, roll forward like bowling balls and just, like, explode when they hit waves of zombies. So it's much more, like, action-based rather than, like,
basically,
tactical.
Basically, they do good job of mixing it up so that you would feel inclined to play it. It doesn't get old
quickly.
Let me ask this. Are there rounds? Like,
yes.
And do you know, does it say at the beginning
yes
what types
of
zombies
bottom,
you're going to have?
Bottom right of the screen, it shows when the round starts, and then there's little flags which give you an indication of when a huge wave will come. And then it's constantly scrolling to the left of the finish.
Okay.
So you have an idea of where you are.
Yeah.
I
will admit, I've heard so many good things about this from both of you and other people. I want to play it, so.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll find us.
So then, like, I finished it pretty quickly, let's say. By the way, screw the Gigantor zombie with the little hunchback on. Or
really?
Not a hunchback, but the little.
Well, you do to.
I know you just explode him a couple times, but.
Or you use
it's
a pepper.
Just annoying. What?
A pepper.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Oh, okay. Peppers like torch everything in a lane.
Yeah. But yeah, I just. Whenever I saw one, I was just like, oh, fuck you. I have to waste money. But yeah. So then after I beat that, there's the puzzles and the.
Yeah, there's a bunch of minigames that you can
mini
play.
Minigames, right? So minigames. They're essentially like another level.
Oh, what do you mean by another? Like,
just compared to the story, like they're just like as if it's another.
Oh yeah, sure. It's just they throw in weird rules.
I went through that and beat all of those, and then I went through the puzzles.
Yeah, there's an astounding amount of content in that game.
There is, and yet somehow I was almost like completed all of it
really
quickly.
Oh, yeah. It took me a long time to get through everything. I think I still might have a couple challenges.
I still have survival
left.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't really like the survival stuff.
Mm.
So. Now it's just the Zen Garden.
Yeah.
Compare it to another PopCap game that I do understand and have played and is very
addictive. Like,
you mean Peggle?
Yes.
No. Well, they are totally different.
The minigames. Okay. The minigames, like I said, they're different from the story ones. All of the minigames resemble other PopCap games. Like, there's Bejeweled type stuff.
Wait, Bejeweled? Wait, which one's the Bejeweled one?
You have to move the plants. Like, basically, your entire
grid
is
filled.
Oh, you're right.
Never mind. I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah.
And then you have to make a certain amount of combinations while making sure that the zombies can't, like, eat your shit.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, yeah. I don't think there's any Peggle equivalent, though, is
oh,
there?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Which is the Pop-Pack name Kyle knows the most about, right?
Right. But yeah, like, you'll recognize other stuff in the mini games that they've done. But yeah, it was well worth $5.
Yeah, in my opinion, it's the best PopCap game available.
I'm really sad because I want to get it on my Mac side.
You'll get
my
it.
PC
Don't
side.
Worry.
And like the Steam sale was $5, but I could never find it for less than $20.
Yeah, it's that kind of gross. But
sexual favors, Kyle. That's how you make money.
since we finished talking about Plants vs. Zombies, can we take another short little break? Because my computer seems to be screwing up.
Woo!
Awesome.
Right.
Okay.
Sweet.
And we're back!
Yeah!
Woo!
Wow!
All right.
So,
throw me some beads and I'll show you my tits. That wasn't me. I'm sorry.
Fuck, are you talking, Peter? You want to talk about?
I don't have any beads, but I would like to leave.
Yeah, I'm really
I thought you were gonna say. I thought you were gonna say. I don't have any beads, but could you please show me your tits?
Oh,
please don't.
Oh God, I've seen those one too many times.
Oh God.
What?
What? No. That's
the dark truth.
I talked to Andrew, okay?
He's been taking pictures.
All right. Video games. Borderlands.
Serious
time. I actually found some time to play that
nice.
In the, like, geez, what is it, like a month since I last talked
about it?
It was
like two shows ago, I think.
Yeah. So, I beat it.
Yeah. And how did you like it?
I liked it.
You liked it?
I liked it.
You liked it?
Yes.
so
this,
was
there
so
is
nice,
like
so nice.
Torchlight, which is another loot game.
True.
It does. The story is not really something to care about.
Okay.
Like the focus is hey loot.
And, okay.
Would you look at the stuff
so,
on the ground?
And going through that and like progressing more, and I guess just having better stuff. Like I was beginning to find a variety of better stuff.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I guess that's... I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
I was not on the just, mic. Like, the different, oh, okay. different new areas and stuff like that. Like, the game changes environments and stuff to make it interesting.
I'm sorry.
I didn't know.
I did something off mic that made people laugh.
I didn't know that he could... Apologies. I thought he had his mic on, and I was really excited.
Oh, he...
He didn't. No. So we totally
Fuck.
Fucked
For
it up.
For people who missed it, I burped really loud. Right,
we totally fucked it up.
Now you got it.
Oh, fuck.
So Borderlands, that's a good game. and it induces burping.
Allegedly.
Yeah. But yeah, just, I guess, like, oh, what's another game that I was... I can't think of it right now, but... In the same sense as another RPG that has open-ended quests that I could go to at any time,
mm-hmm.
I found myself, as I further progressed, I was going more towards the story missions.
Yeah.
Towards the end. Like, oh, I guess it was like Red Faction, where I was very near the last mission.
Mm-hmm.
And so... It just, like, kept feeding me where to go after that, and so I just said, you know what, I'm just gonna do it.
You might as well just get to the end,
yeah.
You're so close.
Yeah, so I did that, and, you know, like, people on boards and stuff have complained about the final enemy.
Yeah,
boss.
I hear a lot of the bosses you can just stand still and shoot at until they
yeah,
die.
Yeah, I didn't find myself standing still too much. The final boss, there is, like I did... end up standing still in one place.
Great.
yeah, I mean, it wasn't... I guess it was, like, kind of underwhelming, but at the same time, it was like, you know, this is just another thing I have to kill.
That's kind of too bad. It'd be nice if the game crescendoed with a nice giant fight at the end.
Yeah, I mean, it is a giant fight.
Well,
it's just that...
Not in terms of just a giant thing to shoot, but, like, a fight
right.
that... challenged
yeah
you,
challenges
you know?
It
right
bit, rather
yeah.
than like the end of
but at the same time like I think it was a level 32 or something like I was already a little bit over leveled because I had been doing
oh, sure.
a lot of so like it wasn't going to be tough if I had to run around and stuff
yeah
like once I figured out what I have to do to in order for it not to hit me like
yeah.
which isn't just standing behind a piece of cover, like, because it could still reach me if I allowed, et cetera, to happen. But, yeah, I mean, I finished it, and I was like, all right, great. Well, now I'm going to try to figure out the online.
Yeah, because you were having problems with that before.
Yeah, like, forwarding ports. And so I fiddled around with my router, and I got it to work.
Finally, man.
Hey.
Nice.
So after, what, 2 months?
Yeah.
Of, yeah.
Anyways. I gotta say, that's bullshit that a contemporary game, like, refuses to let you play just because of, like, port forwarding problems.
I know. It's
I mean, I haven't had that happen, or I haven't heard of that happening.
Especially
with any
something
recent
with,
game.
Like, Steam support.
Yeah,
or
well,
is
well,
it even Steam support? I know it's on
well,
Steam.
No, it's not
but tech. Like,
I don't think it's using, like, does it have, like, Steam achievements and shit?
I don't think
it does.
So.
I mean, Gearbox Software, like, they release a lot of games on PC. I was hoping they'd have their online shit worked
out.
Yeah,
that was weird.
Also, they use, like, the GameSpy matchmaking.
Oh, I know!
They? Like, that shit's so dated.
It's so dumb.
Like, why are they doing that?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I mean, luckily, it's something where they don't even need your, like, I guess, real email address if you have to create a GameSpy ID.
Sure.
So, like, it's not... It's just a little nuisance.
It's just
like,
weird, because the last game... I mean, I play a lot of games on PC, and the last game
I remember is
Battlefield
2. Yep.
And when did that come out? Like, 2004, I think, maybe?
Yeah, that or 05,
yeah.
I think.
That's ridiculous that GameSpy IDs are still required in this
I'm surprised it even exists. So.
I know, me too.
So...
Doop-a-doo.
Hey,
so exactly
Kyle, do you have any questions for Borderlands?
Oh, God, that's right. We had a whole bunch of that covered in the last podcast.
One thing... Okay, I have something to talk about.
Sure.
Towards the end, I was starting to feel the... I started to feel that my class, Mordecai, the hunter with the Bloodwing pet, sort of felt used up. Like, I was
what
at the point where
up?
I didn't think... Like, I didn't really feel the need to level up anymore to get new skills.
Oh.
Like, I felt like...
Your,
like, I had maxed
your
out
growth
kind of
stagnated.
Yeah. I mean, there's stuff I can get, but
right now
I'm just ready to make a new character.
Yeah. Like, one thing I wanted to ask is, like, when I play Torchlight, one of the reasons I really like it is as you level up, you unlock a bunch of new talents that totally change the way you play. Like, I mentioned before, I was playing a hunter or a ranger class, and I was getting turrets that would, you know,
right.
I plant those down, and that was totally changing the way I approached combat.
Right.
When you level up in Borderlands, do your talents and skills change in such a way that you have to you change how you approach a battle?
Well, that's the thing. For Mordecai, I basically went all out on the Bloodwing tree.
That's the bird pet?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, I'm maxed out on that thing, and so, like, but that has, like, I've reduced the cooldown time by a little bit, but, like, it's, like, 25 seconds or something.
Okay.
But,
so you're not so much getting new abilities so much as you're refining ones you already have?
Yeah, but at the same time, there are skills such as, like, one that I'm working towards if I keep working on that character. Like, I'm thinking I might start a playthrough 2 with that character. But there's one that's, like, insane health regen if you, like, kill enemies or something.
Okay.
So, like, there are things that'll, like... I guess, make it so, like, you don't have to, I guess, wait around.
Yeah, it just seems like, with Borderlands.
Like, the thing is, you're still gonna be shooting dudes.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it seems like you're not so much getting different ways to kill people or whatever, you're just
getting
better at what you're doing from the beginning.
Right. So you're, like, getting more efficient.
Okay.
Let's say that. But yeah, like, at the end, I'm definitely, considering, like, when your copy comes and we can play over winter break.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Like, I'm probably going with Lilith, the, like, Phase Walker or whatever.
Yeah, that's the class that interests
Berserker.
Me the most as well.
So, yeah. But yeah.
That, like, sounds pretty fun.
Despite
the AI.
Alright, I'll say this also. Like, now that I've finished that playthrough, I'm not done, like, playing the game. I don't feel like I have to put it on the shelf because,
just
because
you saw the credits
roll.
Right.
Yeah. Like, actually, that was really funny. Like, when I saw the credits roll, I instantly just hit escape because I'm like, well, I want to see the loot that was dropped.
Oh, you don't get your loot before the credits go?
Yeah, that's I don't
funny.
Think so.
That's but, priceless.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you're done talking about Borderlands,
yeah?
Like, you mentioned how you had a hard time getting what was considered probably one of the central tenets of the game, which was the multiplayer aspect, you were having problems getting it going.
Yeah.
And I've actually, and
that's
you mentioned...
That's probably partly my incompetency with port forwarding. But it's like, when I looked at my router, I was like...
It's just a shame
that
you have to deal with that at all.
Why does it say AIM and Age of Empires?
Dude, like, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about when you're talking about port forwarding, so...
Well, yeah, anyways, continue.
But you mentioned the fact that, you know, you thought something with Steam support might have, you know...
Okay, what I mean by that is... games that have Steam support, let's say Left 4 Dead 2, like, you know how you can look on your friends, it'll say they're playing this game,
right.
And then you can hit join game.
Right.
Like,
so
if they had done that, that would have made this so much better.
Right, of course.
I wonder if you can do that if you bought the game on Steam. I have no idea.
I don't think you can.
Oh, really?
Like, that's weird.
I'm pretty sure it still goes through GameSpy.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is that basically wanted me to launch into a bit of a tirade on Steam because I bought Left 4 Dead when it came out.
And Left 4 Dead 2.
Left 4 Dead 2 when it came out. And then there was a
this
patch.
This is a bad
when.
Story.
There was a patch that has supposedly thrown a bunch of people's games into this crash mode where every single time I will start up the game, I will wait through, I'll hit escape through the opening scene, it'll go black, say loading, and then it just goes away. And I can't...
The game crashes.
The game crashes. And I can't play that game. I haven't been able to play that game for the past 3 weeks.
Ugh.
Because they... And it's a common problem.
That's
it's just,
so... There's that... The fact that there are actually a ton of people with that problem is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would think that they would have their shit covered for that.
Well, they released another patch that supposedly fixed the problem, but it just made Kyle run into a different problem.
Yeah.
Now your game
is
just
that,
refuses
yeah,
to complete installation.
Speaking of which, is that now a common problem? The new
I
one
wonder,
that you have?
I haven't looked into it now.
Because I guess because it was really recent.
The update was just a couple of days ago.
It was
wasn't
Tuesday,
it?
I believe. Today's Friday.
Yeah.
That
today's
sucks.
Saturday.
It's
today's
bullshit.
Saturday? Oh, fuck.
I've only played through those two campaigns, and I'd love to finish the game.
I know. Same.
God damn it. Every single time you
or
guys
no,
are
we
like...
played three.
I didn't finish the third, though.
Neither did I.
But like, every time you guys
once.
Are like, let's play that game. I'm like, okay. And I sit there for 30 minutes trying to start my game, and it's no worky.
That sucks.
Yeah, it really annoys me.
But, I mean, I'm sure Valve's aware of the problem, and hopefully there'll be a patch out sometime next week.
One would hope.
Or hopefully your problem will
you know
just
what
magically
you should
fix
do?
Itself. We'll see.
You should be like, Valve, send me a PC.
There you go. You just boycott the game,
Mac
and they'll fly you out to their headquarters. And
oh, there you go. Boycott the game that he bought.
Yeah, exactly, that I paid them money for.
Just tell me you'll boycott Left 4 Dead 3 or whatever.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I heard that's coming out in March.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Adding, like, two new campaigns and one new infected, too.
Yeah, and, like, they're changing coach from a black guy to a white guy.
Whoa, that's racist.
I know. What?
There's still a black girl.
That's true.
She's Hispanic
now. It's multi-ethnic.
Oh,
wait,
yeah?
Is she Hispanic?
are you serious?
I thought she...
Oh...
For those who are just listening, I'm extremely embarrassed. Right
just
now.
Just tuning in.
Yeah, for those of you that are tuning in at the end of our podcast.
Kyle is dumb.
Very dumb. Really? She's Hispanic?
Yeah.
With that, I think
hang on.
Okay. Fuck off, Thomas.
Sorry.
I'm not done yet.
Okay.
Shut your mouth.
Keep going.
I just want to say, Assassin's Creed 2 should have been on sale for... less than $50 over Thanksgiving.
On Black Friday?
Yes.
It was.
No, it
wasn't. Assassin's Creed 2, I didn't see a deal below $50, personally.
Yeah.
Actually, you're right. I saw $49.99. I'm like, that's not $50.
Oh, my God.
Way
Kyle,
to go.
You are not helping your case.
Way to buy into the fucking ad campaign.
That's something called sales tax.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I keep hearing just impressions of that game, and it makes me want to play it.
Dude.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm hearing people who weren't into the first one too much, who are saying, that's a great game. People should probably play it.
No, I'm so excited.
Cool.
We actually have that next up on our gameplay lineup, right?
Oh,
yeah, should be true. Coming soon. And I'm really fucking excited, because I played Assassin's Creed and liked it. What? And now I'm really looking forward
well,
to
it. Well, I liked it too. I just...
But I didn't have nearly as
quickly.
Many complaints.
I played it very quickly and sold it very quickly after.
Get the fuck out of my house.
That's not what I said. Anyways, so should we talk about that text adventure idea that was lost?
maybe next time.
Yeah.
We don't really have... We'll see how it works out.
Emails.
Emails?
Yes.
We have an email address. If you want to send us destructive criticism or whatever, stories or whatever you want,
yeah, we'll
you can email
stories.
That shit to 3bitpodcast...
Tell me about your day.
...at gmail.com. The 3 is a number not spelled out. We also have a blog, which is at what, Peter?
3bitpodcast.wordpress.com.
Yeah.
Number 3, not
hopefully
spelled out, no spaces, etc.
Right. Hopefully there will be more stuff that we're actually writing going up there soon since the semester is closing.
Yeah,
true.
Especially a little bit of a break. Especially because there are tons of things that if that lost podcast doesn't get up,
definitely.
I want to put some thoughts up there.
So, yeah. I guess this has been episode 5.
Episode 5.
Ish. And
or something, yeah.
You're Thomas.
What?
You're Thomas.
Oh, yeah, I'm Thomas.
No. You're Thomas.
You can't point. I am Thomas
what?
Curtis.
No, because he was going to go,
he's
you're Thomas.
Peter. He's Peter.
No.
He's Peter.
He was going to go, you're Thomas, and then you were going to be, he's Peter, and then he was going to be like, he's Kyle.
How would anyone know
who
you're pointing
at? How would that
at?
Make any difference?
No one would know
this
it.
This is an audio program,
God
dude.
Damn it. No one would know that you're pointing. We're all giving one another an outro.
That is the worst idea
and
ever.
He's Kyle Stimley.
Ba-dum-tsh.
God.
Wait, what? That wasn't a punchline.
Let's kill this shit before it goes down in flames. I'm Thomas Curtis.
I'm Peter Boda.
I'm Kyle Stimley.
Yeah!
And we're out.
This has been the 3
Goodbye,
podcast. All right, see ya.
Bye.